I bet you normally don't give much thought to the number four, but my next guest certainly does. Danielle Ash is an animator. She has a segment called Counting Four Wheels that's part of Sesame Street. Yeah, Sesame Street. It'll be premiering on HBO this Saturday. Ash is a Brooklyn-based experimental animator of all things from cardboard pickles to pinlight lanterns. Now, she's here with us to explain what's behind her magic. Welcome, Danielle.
Delighted to be here. Thanks for having me.
So how did you get assigned the number four to animate for Sesame Street?
I was pitching a bunch of different ideas to them about vegetables, bubbles, and it came down to the number four for the episode based on wheels, counting wheels. So I made a little story about two girls who go on an adventure to the seaside and count all the things they see with four wheels.
Out of curiosity, which vegetable lost out to the number four?
A carrot.
I knew it was a carrot, but if we could focus on four. Were you a fan of Sesame Street growing up?
Oh, I was hugely influenced by Sesame Street, and I feel like some of the animations had such a lasting quality and stayed with me for a long time, and I feel like I was just honored to be asked to do one of my own.
Yeah, I actually learned how to tie a tie on Sesame Street, but that's another story. I know, for those who haven't watched Sesame Street before, what's the counting number segment like?
It's really sort of a simplified story focusing on counting. And they do a letter of the day and a number of the day. And so it's the number four.
It's the number four. So how many different versions did you go through?
I pitched about 12 different ideas to them. So I had a bunch of ideas out there, and then I narrowed down to one idea, and focusing on using cardboard and stop motion to create the story.
So how did you come up with your story, that particular story?
I was actually really inspired by my two nieces, Kate and Jules, who like to play together. And I wanted to do something about girls and sisters and having fun out there.
So I've seen some of the animations. I'm going to tweet some out later on at Duarte Geraldino. And it seemed hard because you use such a labor-intensive form of animation. What appealed to you about that?
It is a very painstaking process. And I'm a teacher in New York City as well. I love bringing that process to my students. And some of them can have the patience for it and some of them don't. But it was really just such a magical thing for me to start doing puppet animation and creating these worlds, elaborate worlds of cardboard characters and sets, and try different experimental techniques. I just recently did a 70mm film where I scratched into the film of outtakes of a John Huston film, The Bible. I was screened at Orphans Film Symposium a couple of weeks ago at the Museum of Moving Image. So I like to do all sorts of experimental techniques. And
there's so much technology out there now with, you know, one of the tablets and the iPads. You can do some animation yourself. Stop motion in particular. Can you just explain for anyone who's just joining us, what is stop motion?
Stop motion is a method of creating objects to be shot in front of the camera where you intricately move things very small amounts, take a photograph, move it again, take another photograph, and just a lot of repetitive action to get the movement. But it's a really fun form because I feel like it's sort of more like being a cinematographer, being a performer, because you have to really sort of act it out. You get one try to do stop motion or you have to do the whole thing over again.
And so, what materials, again, did you use? Did you use from...
For Sesame Street, I used all cardboard. So I like to use the recycled materials as much as possible in my art and...
So I have this image of you cutting cardboard out, placing these pictures on this pad, and then changing them ever so much and taking a new photograph. Is that how it works?
That's pretty much it, yeah. I use a multiplane setup where I have about three or four layers of cardboard cutouts to make sort of some depth in the animation. And I also have full full-blown sets and puppets in space.
So how long is the actual segment?
It is a 1-minute animated short.
And how long did it take you to produce?
I worked on it for about 8 months, I think.
Eight months per minute.
Yeah.
That's pretty extraordinary. Now, you've recently also created animated shorts for Jack Daniels and Redai. That's a pretty wide range. How did you tackle them?
It is. It was a very challenging thing to do something fun and colorful and cheerful for Sesame Street at such a challenging time in our world, something that I thought would contribute to Sesame Street's message of kindness and learning. And I really enjoyed taking on that challenge as opposed to, doing something more like a music video. The Sesame Street opportunity really was inspiring for me.
And if you're just joining us, Daniel Ash is an animator. We're talking to her right now about a segment called Counting Four that's part of Sesame Street, and she is actually the creator of that segment. So you also teach animation. Now, who are your students? Are they older? Are they younger?
I'm working with a range this year at Manhattan Youth and the NARS Foundation, teaching in Sunset Park and on the Upper West Side, from 5-year-olds to middle school this year. So it's a real challenge to make animation fun for everyone, but I think everyone likes it.
So when we think about the future of it, when I was a kid and I looked at cartoons, it was amazing, but then to understand the complexity of it, it sort of scared me a little bit. Now there's so much technology and there's so much communication in different areas. What about the future of animation as a tool for students? Do you think more and more students will be using animation to express their ideas?
I hope so. I feel like a lot of students really are able to express themselves, their emotions through animation. But it is definitely a struggle to keep doing the traditional kinds of animation that I have been doing and make it fit into the world today with everything being so digital. But I am currently working on a new documentary called The Girl with the Rivet Gun about women in the workforce during World War II for Spargel and Providence Productions.
It's an animation about women in the workforce?
It is. It's The Girl with the Rivet Gun.
And how long is this going to be?
And it's going to be about 15 minutes. It's a work in progress right now. It's hopefully coming out in the next year.
And that's also with stop motion?
It is. All cardboard stop motion.
You use music and voices for this as well. How do you join the two?
I did. It was really great collaborating with Sloan Wainwright for the original song for Sesame Street, and Maya and Layla Musallam were my voices. I went into the recording studio with Maya and Layla to voice the girls, the sisters for the project, and it was just so delightful working with young actresses.
You also are working on a sequel to your last animation, Pickles for Nickels, and Ride Again to Dollar.
That's a passion project of mine that's sort of been put to the back burner for a while with other things coming up in my life work-wise. So I'm also working, I have a new trailer in the Catskills where I'm making animation in the woods. So, using tomatoes from my garden for my animations these days.
If we could go back to the number four, what did you want your viewers, these kids, to learn from your cardboard animation about the number four? What makes it sticky and memorable for people?
Well, I think the song is really a catchy tune, and I think it just wanted to make something that about girls and having fun together and enjoying learning to count.
So is there a big community of stop motion animators out there?
Actually, it's a smaller world than you might think.
So what does that mean when you say a smaller world? How small is it?
I tend to run into some stop mo people here in New York that I met out at Cal Arts in California, and keep running across some of the same people, but yeah.
So in terms of other forms of animation, do you think that stop motion will continue its course, or do you think it's going to be eclipsed in some way?
I think it's constantly changing how it's being combined with other things, like virtual reality or just a combination of techniques and styles with using some stop motion and a lot of digital. So I'm hopeful that it's still going to continue. There's a lot of passion for that handmade human touch in there that I think is so special about stop motion.
Now, had you tried other forms of animation before settling on stop motion?
I've done some drawn animation, and I've tried my hand at 3D and Maya, but I feel like my brain is more attuned to the tactile, handmade style.
So where can we watch Counting Four Wheels? When will it actually get on HBO?
It's premiering this Saturday at 9 a.m. on HBO, and then you can watch it on HBO Go and eventually PBS. So
eventually
I'm excited
PBS.
About that. Yeah.
Well, this is really big because, again, Sesame Street is such an institution. People remember this stuff. If I can put you on the spot, can you sing a little bit of a jingle of it? You just squirmed.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I can.
Thank you so much.
I really
appreciate your insight and the fact that you've worked so hard to do this.
Yeah.
So I'm Duarte Geraldino. We have been talking with sort of an amazing animator about your work and insight. Thank you so much, Daniel Ash. Animator, she created the segment Counting Four Wheels. That's part of Sesame Street, and it'll be premiering on HBO this Saturday. Thank you.
Thank you very much.